We're going to pray before we have a look at this part of the Bible. You ready? Let's put our hands together, let's close our eyes, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us to understand your word. Please speak to us and transform us into the likeness of your Son, all for your glory. Amen. So what lies behind the scenes of this most famous picture, the Nativity? Well, what lies behind it is a really big promise. Not a promise of chocolate or your favorite device from Santa, but the promise of a crusher. And to help us understand this promise, I have three phrases that we're going to learn this morning. They're not new phrases. The first phrase is, First phrase is, oh no. The second phrase is, stomp, stomp, stomp. And the third phrase is, oh yeah. Exactly. So can we have a bit of a practice on this? So the first phrase is going to be, oh no, and you've got to put your hands on your head. The second phrase is going to be, stomp, stomp, stomp. And I want you to release your hands. I know that sounds a bit weird, but you're going to have to hold your hands, go stomp, 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 and then release them. I can't do that because I've got a thing. And this one is going to be hands in the air and a bit of an, oh yeah. So, you ready? Just quick practice. Oh, fantastic. We've got some adults at the back doing it as well. That's really exciting. You guys, I want to see more. I want to see more. I can see you. I can see you from here. I can see what you're doing and what you're not doing. So, stage only. Oh, stage. No, I'm the stage. Balcony. Yeah. That is amazing. That is really, really amazing. Good work. And so you're going to say these phrases in response to things that I say, but you're not going to find them out until later on in the talk. So let's go behind the scenes and have a look. And to do this, we need to go back to the beginning of time, back to Genesis 3:15. And this is what Genesis 3:15 says. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Do you see that? Right in the middle of that passage are five really important words which make up our promise. Do you see them? He will crush your head. A promise that a crusher will come, but not any old crusher, but the crusher. And that phrase is going to be my first phrase which gets you guys to respond with stomp, stomp, stomp. So when I say the crusher, here we go. When I say the crusher, you guys go stomp, stomp, stomp. Ready? So, the crusher. The crusher. The Christmas cracker. No, the crusher. Fantastic. But who is this crusher? Well, our other passage makes it clear. The crusher is Jesus. And we all know what a crusher does, don't we? I have a cup somewhere here. Here we go. Here's my cup. A crusher squashes stuff. So you probably have one of these, haven't you? And I would not be surprised if you've all at some point done this, okay? Where you have crushed the cup in some form. Maybe you've done it with your feet. But we know what crushing is. So the promise is that Jesus will do this to someone. Is it a promise of a man with giant shoes? That's what I imagine it, a man with giant shoes coming around, stomping everywhere, squashing everything that gets in his way. Well, no, that's not exactly what it's talking about. Because even though we often think of crushing as crushing something physical, it can also mean squashing someone's power, to stop them from doing something. That is the idea of releasing your hands. The picture is like their hands were once holding on to something, firm grip, not willing to let it go, but now they've been squashed, their hands are released, and the thing is free. It's that they can't hold on to it anymore. Their power has been crushed. So when a king's reign comes to an end, you could say that the king has been crushed. Now, they've not physically been crushed and squashed into a little ball, but their power has gone. They have been crushed. Have you ever, now I have a four-year-old who does this, have you ever jumped on your parents' lap really quickly, unexpectedly? Have you done that? We had that the other day. I was sitting in the living room with a cup of water in my hand. Daniel, my four-year-old, came running and jumped and landed on me. And do you know what happened to my cup that I was holding on to? Instinctively, go on, what do you reckon happened? I spilt it. I went, ah! Because I'm a man, obviously, so I didn't go, ah! I went, ah! That's what I did. You see, I was not physically crushed, but him jumping on me made me release my hands. My grip was gone. My power had been removed. But here's a good question. Is a crusher a good thing or a bad thing? If you were to tell me a crusher was coming, I'd be pretty worried. Would you be worried if somebody said, a crusher is coming? I'd think, I don't want to get crushed. But whether a crusher is a good thing or a bad thing is very dependent on the thing that it's crushing, isn't it? So, follow me here. So a good crusher will crush bad things. A bad crusher will crush good things. And the best crusher will crush the worst thing ever. You get that, don't you? Good crushers crush bad things and bad crushers crush good things. So, here's a test. See if you understand this. Would a crusher be a good crusher or a bad crusher if it crushed Brussels sprouts? Good crusher. Yeah, that would be a good crusher, wouldn't it? That would be a really good crusher. Thumbs up, yeah? Exactly. Would it be a good crusher or a bad crusher that crushed the Christmas tree with all your presents underneath? That would be a bad crusher, wouldn't it? If you have a Christmas tree with all your presents on, you don't want that being crushed, do you? So depending on the thing that is being crushed helps us to understand if Jesus is a good crusher or a bad crusher. And to understand the crusher, we need to understand the big problem. I know, we need to understand the big problem. And that's going to be my second phrase that gets us the oh no, the big problem. There you go. You know, think, imagine if this struggles. Imagine you get home and your mum says, dinner is just Brussels sprouts. Okay? What response would you get there? Yeah. So, no! No, that's not the one. That would be too long. But we just want to go for an oh no. So when I say the big problem,
oh, no.
Okay. And when I say the crusher,
oh, no. The
big problem,
oh, no.
And you've got to remember the part of it as well. So I might say a problem or a big problem, but that doesn't require the oh no. It's just the big problem.
Oh, no.
Excellent. Well done. So, the big pudding. No. The big problem. You see, the promise of the crusher is linked to the big problem. So what is this? Well, some of the adults were here last week and they heard Tim talk about it, because from Genesis 3, there's been the big problem. And big problems really do require an oh no. Imagine that you did have Brussels sprouts for dinner. That'd be terrible, wouldn't it? This is even bigger than that. But what is it? Well, the big problem is that we have been taken captive. We have been taken captive. Let me explain. Genesis 3 tells us that our great, 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 great grandparents disobeyed God. Adam and Eve, who we are all descended from, right at the beginning of time, decided to take Satan's side rather than God's side. They decided Satan's plan looked better than God's. And as a result, they got cast out from God's protection because they disobeyed God. They became captive to Satan. It's like he kidnapped them, keeping them under his power. But not just those two, because everyone born after them was born into captivity. We are all born into captivity under Satan. The whole world is. Every single descendant is under the captivity of Satan. You, me, everyone. It's like we're all wrapped in Satan's arms, captured and trapped. Like Rapunzel. Have you heard of Rapunzel? Do you know Rapunzel? There's a movie called Tangled. Great movie. This is the description of Tangled. If you haven't seen it, go see it. It's quite good. It's quite good. Rapunzel is a young princess kept unaware of her royal heritage by a vain old woman named Mother Gothel, who raises her in a secluded town in order to exploit her hair's healing abilities to remain young and beautiful forever. Now, ignore the magical hair bit, because that's obviously made up. But she's under captivity, unaware of her heritage. And we've all been taken captive. We are like that. We are unaware of our heritage. And we see this in our other reading, 1 John 3:8. Let's have a look at this. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning of time. You see, the Bible says our sin shows we are captive by Satan. And we see it all through the world, don't we? The brokenness in North Korea. As we watch our news, we see brokenness everywhere. The messiness of death. The darkness we feel at times in our lives when we're just feeling down and struggling. We see in the world Satan's hands, Satan's footprints, Satan's fingerprints everywhere. But not just in the world out there, but also close to home. Because, you know, the fact is, none of us do what God wants us to do. And that shows us that we are under Satan's power. You see, Satan really wants us to lie. That's what he really wants us to do. Who's lied? Who's lied? You see, that shows that we're under his power. Satan wants us to get angry with our brothers and sisters. Who's been angry with their brother and sister? Yeah, I have. You see, that's what he wants us to do. Satan wants us to get annoyed with our mum and dads, and this happened in my house this morning, and stamp your feet and shout no at your mum and dads. That's what he wants you to do. Who's done that? Who's got angry at their mum and dad when they've told you to do something? We've all done that. Don't we think this all the time, that we are the most important people in the world? You see, the claws of Satan are in our lives everywhere, guiding and directing us like puppets at home, at school, and for adults, at work as well. You probably see it all the time throughout the whole world. And are you ready? Ready for your action? And that is the big problem. Exactly. From the beginning, the human race has been under the power of Satan. And that is a massive oh no. And in fact, boys and girls, that is the biggest problem ever. No one wants to be captured by Satan, the great liar and accuser. But here's the good news, because Christmas is not bad news, is it? Christmas is good news. The good news is the crusher came. And he came to deal with the big problem. Look, you caught me out there. Look at how 1 John 3:8 finishes. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Here's my question. Is Jesus a good crusher or a bad crusher. He's a good crusher, isn't he? Because he came to crush Satan. He came to sort out our worst enemy. He came to crush Satan and remove his power. He is amazing. And this was meant to do something at this point. Oh, doesn't work. Oh, can you just click it onto the next bit? Have you muted it? Oh, let me go back. I did practice this yesterday. Right. Oh, never mind. We'll ignore that. Okay. Unless, are they ready? Okay, come on, bring them in. Oh, Winston! Winston! No! No, Winston! Winston! Oh, my goodness me! My goodness me! The dragon has stolen Winston! Oh, come on, guys. Oh, come on. My best friend. Oh, we have a big problem, don't we? We have a really big problem. Who's going to come and help us with our big problem? Who do you reckon we can get who can help us with our dragon, with our serpent? Who do you think can help us with our big problem? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Sorry, well rehearsed. Hi, Santa. Santa, Winston has been kidnapped. Can you help us to get him back?
Well, of course I can.
Oh, brilliant. What are you going to do to get Winston back?
I'll put him on my naughty list then.
Yeah, oh, that will work. So if you threaten to put him on your naughty list, he'll give Winston back. Mm. Yeah, let's have a go. Let's have a go. Do we reckon that will work? Let's see. Ready? Steady? Oh, that's a lot scarier than I thought it was. That did not work. You weren't very good there, were you, Santa?
No.
Okay, off you go. Oh, see, Santa could not deal with our problem, could he? He could not deal with our problem. Maybe there is someone else who can help us. Maybe there is someone else. Oh, ho, ho. Yeah. Yeah. £10 well spent, eh? £10 well spent. I love it. Superman!
Yeah!
Superman! We have a problem, right? Can you help us with our problem?
What's the problem?
Someone has kidnapped Winston. A dragon of sorts has kidnapped Winston. We need him being crushed so that we can get Winston back. Can you help us?
No.
That wasn't in the script. Wait a sec. Why no?
You bought this outfit because Superman doesn't exist. And I can't actually help.
You're not really Superman, and you bought this outfit. I bought this outfit, obviously. Okay. So why are you here? Okay. I was hoping you'd be able to help.
Yeah, I think you're just wishing for someone to find a solution, to wishing for a solution, but actually, you're not actually searching for actual solutions. I mean, Superman, I mean, come on.
Oh. I think he's right. I think I'm just wishing for a solution. Thank you, Superman. Thank you for pointing me in. Yeah, you can take a seat if you want. You can take a seat, ready to play the guitar later. That will not be distracting at all. That'll be brilliant. Guys, we need a crusher to crush the dragon. We've got a crusher, haven't we? We've got a crusher. We've got Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Here we go. Come on, Jesus. Right. Jesus can crush him, can't he? No? Not working? It's not working, is it? Oh! That was not a part of the script. That was very different. You did it too early, but that is fine. That is very fine. Let's give her a clap. Let's give her a clap. Do you know what? I was convinced the nativity part would go horribly wrong. We sort of practiced that already, and that seemed to work, but it was the nativity part that I was really worrying about. You see, I had a big problem, didn't I? I had a big problem, didn't I? And the thing is, Santa couldn't deal with my big problem. And the thing is, wishing for someone to sort it out for me, without investigating, without thinking it through, really didn't work. You see, Jesus is the crusher. Yeah, I get you were distracted by the amazing drama that we did there, that you've forgotten the actions. You see, Jesus is the crusher. And he came as a promised one to be the crusher. But the danger is we leave him in the crib. We leave him in the crib at Christmas time, and we don't investigate, did he actually crush Satan? Did he actually do what he was promised to do? And if we're going to investigate whether Jesus actually crushed Satan, we need to go 33 years after Jesus was born to a place called Golgotha. At Golgotha, something amazing happened. Jesus set his people free. And that's going to be my final phrase that gets this response. Oh, yes, yeah. Set his people free. Oh, yeah. There's an American advert of a juice thing that comes in and goes, oh, yeah, I think. Something like that. That's really good. But anyway, you need your hands in the air. So, set his people free.
Oh, yeah.
Should we try and put those together? So, we've got the crusher.
Stop.
The big problem.
Oh,
and set his people free.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You see, Jesus set his people free at the place... Oh, sorry. Jesus set his people free at a place called Golgotha. You see, 33 years after he was born, an amazing triumph happened. But it did look really strange. It looked like a weird triumph because at the moment, 33 days I'm speaking about, Jesus was hanging on a cross, dying. Puzzling, isn't it? That does not look like he is winning. As he died, that moment, Satan and his work were actually getting crushed. It sounds backwards, doesn't it? But it's true. Let me ask you this question. What is the evidence that somebody has won? Maybe someone's in a race or a fight or something like that, and someone has won. What is the evidence? They are the last person standing, aren't they? They are the one on the podium with their arms in the air. They're not the ones that are lying on the floor, but they are the ones standing up. And as Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later, he was showing that he was still standing. Death and Satan had thrown its best punches at Jesus, and Jesus had taken it and defeated them back. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he was showing that he had, you ready, set his people free.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The cross was Jesus' fatal crush on Satan. And even though we still see Satan's work in the world today, he is very much like a crushed cup with legs walking around waddling. You see, Satan's hands are wide open. And for 2,000 years, we have seen Christians come from Satan's hands into Jesus' hands. That's what we've been seeing. We've been seeing Jesus' crushing work releasing his followers all over the place. You see, Jesus' death on the cross has set his people free. And one day, Jesus is going to return again, and he's going to finish off Satan and crush him and throw him into a place called hell. Now, that is amazing, isn't it? That Jesus has come. Jesus, the crusher, has come to deal with the big problem to set his people free. Exactly. In one of the Disney films, maybe Rapunzel again, is the quote, "I've been set free to be the person I was meant to be." It's in a song. Bad song. Don't listen to it. But it's a good line. "I've been set free to be the person I was meant to be." And that is what Jesus has done for his people. Like a bird released from its cage, like children released from school, ready for school holidays. That's good, isn't it? That's good, isn't it? Being set free from captivity. Sorry, school teachers. Being set free is a brilliant thing. Set free to talk to God whenever we want. Set free to live like God. Set free knowing that whatever we do, God looks at us and smiles. But here's the really sad news, and this is for you adults as well. The whole thing's for you. Here's the really sad news, is even though Satan's hands are open, even though Satan has been squashed, so many people stick with Satan. They don't leave Satan's grip and come to Jesus, but they stick with him. They might dress it up as saying, "Oh, I'm sitting on the fence, I'm not so sure." They might say, "Oh, I'm not sure there's enough evidence, so I'm just..." Or they might just ignore it. They might do what I did with Superman and just wish and hope for a solution without actually looking into it. And that is really, really sad, because Christmas, as well as being a great celebration, is a great warning as well. Because one day Jesus will return, and the Bible tells us that when he returns, he will finally pick up Satan and throw him into hell. And everyone who is still in his grip will be thrown there as well. And that's really sad. And what I hope, what I pray, that is, if you don't know Jesus as your best friend, as your king, if you're not on Jesus' team, can I encourage you to investigate who he is? This Christmas, why don't you take a gospel, read through the gospel, have a look at who Jesus really is. Maybe you can spare some time and come and do Christianity Explored here at church. We would love to run through with you who Jesus really is and what he came to do. Do not be deceived by Satan and his lies trying to tell you that Jesus is just a normal man. Jesus was the crusher who came to deal with the big problem and set his people free. Are you set free? It's a good question. This Christmas, you could be set free from Satan and be one of Jesus' people who flies free like a bird.